I'm Josh.
And I'm Christy. You know, we all have family picture frames. Frames that reflect the people who bring us the most joy, but also the people who can bring us the most frustration.
Yet, no matter what, the people in those frames have your back, and you have theirs. Regardless of who's in your frame, you're in it together. They are your legacy.
Welcome to the In This Together podcast, where we go behind the scenes to share stories from our own crooked picture frame.
And interview guests to discover how their stories can give us insight on becoming families who live, love, and lead well.
Because you're not alone. We're all in this together.
This episode of the In This Together podcast is brought to you by Forcefield, the best parental control product on the market for managing screens in your home. Visit josh.forcefield.me for a free 30-day trial. Become a digital mentor to your kids. That's josh.forcefield.me.
Hello and welcome back to the In This Together podcast. And we are talking about the wonderful upcoming holiday season.
I love Christmas. I love it so much. It's literally my favorite time of year.
And if
cold weather, I mean, I'm Canadian, so now we can wear, well, we're in Nashville, so it doesn't always quite
We mowed our cooperate. Lawn last year on Christmas Eve. You remember that?
It was like, what was it, 70?
Yeah, we were getting ready for bocce degrees. Ball because
That's
we did Christmas
normal.
At our house
That's
last year.
That's not normal, I know.
And that was the first year we did Christmas at our house in Nashville with your family coming to us.
Yeah.
Because normally we have been traveling to our family. So,
and that's what we want to talk about partially today. So it's prepping for the holidays and what that means. And I think as families, and a lot of us are younger families that are listening, what that looks like for us in the terms of travel, in terms of in-laws and extended family, and trying to go along with traditions past, but also creating our own new traditions, especially as our kids are getting older and wanting to create those memories and those moments for our little families, and just navigating that, especially as we incorporate, you know, blended families. And I think a lot of us feel very pulled in a lot of different directions, and it's beyond just the gifts and, you know, Christmas concerts and all those things that just fill up the season, which are all great things. It's like we over celebrate or something, and it fills up our days so much that all of a sudden it takes all the joy out of it and becomes stressful. So, and we just want to talk about that and have a conversation about it to just stop it. So we can really love Christmas for what it is and soak up the great stuff and just get rid of the stuff that feels heavy and too much. So
with all the holidays coming up, we have all the holiday activities. We want you to enjoy them. That's really our heart. We want to enjoy them. We have had a number of different holidays through the years, over the last number of years, with our children that we didn't necessarily enjoy.
I was going to say, how are you going to phrase that? That sounds
I remember the one Christmas in particular when my dad was going through some health issues with his congestive heart failure, and you were at the bottom rung of life with our kids. It was just a pretty, and wanting to go see my dad, and, you know, wanted to see our family, and you just having
horrible.
Nothing left.
Oh, yeah.
You having nothing left.
I've actually never, that was the lowest point I ever remember. You wanted to travel. We were in London at the time with my family, celebrating Christmas, and Josh really wanted to go be with his dad, which was another, we'd driven, 15 hours or something to get to my family, and then it was another eight hours to get to my family.
And my dad had just gotten out of the hospital after 3 months and 2 heart pump surgeries, and so I had wanted, and he had not, he had met Kennedy as a baby, but that was in the hospital. He hadn't actually been able to hold her at that point. So it was one of those moments of wanting to go see him too.
Yeah.
So.
And I've never been at that spot where, and I'd always done that. I mean, we'd always just picked up and gone because we needed to be there. And not, I mean, you just do it, I guess. But I was at a place where I physically couldn't go. Yeah. I realized that would not be I've never felt like that. I just literally could not do it.
So if you're heading into the holidays and you're in the trenches, or maybe you're in the trenches with teenagers, or you could be in the trenches with infants. We have families who live apart, you know, at a distance, and you have to travel to get there, and you're trying to figure it out. Let's just put it this way. The holidays can bring out the best and the worst in each of us.
Yeah.
And so we want to be able to talk through that and really just prep ourselves, all of us, as we head into the holiday season. How can we begin to think about these things now so that we make the most of it?
Yeah. And I think, you know, as we're raising kids and young families, to set a precedent now that we will choose to enjoy the holidays.
Yeah.
We don't need to suffer through them or survive them, which I know a lot of people somehow seem to talk about, just surviving. I just need to get through it. So let's enjoy it. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's talk how we can do that.
So we got some ways to do that today, to enjoy the holiday season. Number one is to eliminate the chaos or to simplify. So despite what everybody else is doing, choose to simplify your life this holiday season. I mean, you have commercials and you have really it's the economics of it. Everybody's trying to make an extra dollar during the holiday season. So you have messages and advertisements. And if you've ever felt like you're not good enough, just watch TV or listen to commercials during the holiday season, because they'll tell you everything that you don't have or that your kids don't have so that you can go buy it. And they want to make money.
Exactly. Well, and I think all you have to do is look around. I mean, if you look at Instagram or Pinterest, you will the perfectionist in all of us, or even just the achiever, the doer in all of us, wants to do it all. You know, we want to have the great family photo. We want to do if you're in a place where you can do the sleigh rides and the, you know, skating rink. I mean, we have these images of all these things we want to do and accomplish. And here's what we're saying. Let's simplify down to the things that really matter to us.
Yeah.
And eliminate the things that other people put on you that's something. I mean, going to the mall for Christmas to do the shopping. We Amazon Prime absolutely everything now without shame.
Well, because time and money are our two greatest commodities.
Yeah.
Time and money. And to us, in a lot of ways, time, especially with the kids at the age that they are, spending time with our kids matters. And so why waste time? This is the way that I think of it anyway, as a guy. Why waste time standing in lines at a store during the crazy holiday season trying to wrangle your kids to behave when everything in you wants to misbehave in that moment as well?
Yeah.
So one of the things we do is we use Amazon Prime. Number one, in a lot of ways, it's cheaper and it gets delivered to your door. So.
Well, and you're not racing around town trying to find a thing at a store. You know, it's all, I mean, you just search it.
Yeah.
We've also, I think, prioritized gifts less, though, also.
Yeah.
So we don't give our kids as many gifts, truthfully. I grew up in a family where gift giving was just, I mean, I knew no different, but I've had so many people, family, other like extended family, come up to me, you know, and literally in years past and say, tell me what your parents did, because you guys were the most grateful kids. I remember giving you gifts and you were always so grateful. And I thought, really? We were, I mean, I don't remember being overly grateful, but she said she talked to my mom. When she had kids, and she said, what did you do? And she said, I remember giving the kids three gifts, like three big gifts. We had a Christmas stocking, which was filled with, you know, little things. And then we were given three bigger gifts, but not, I mean, really not extravagant, but three big gifts. So, and that was it. But they were three things that I remember, you know, you'd go to school and people would ask you, what's the question? What'd you get for Christmas? I mean, that's what everyone, adults ask kids that, what'd you get for Christmas? And you don't remember the little things. You don't remember all the smaller gifts that kind of just, you know, take up space. but you remember, like, I got a camera. I got, you know, the doll that I really wanted or whatever it was. So my mom and dad would just choose three really special gifts for us. And that was it. And my cousin likened it. She was like, wasn't it like what the three kings brought to Jesus? And my mom was like, yeah, I didn't think that deeply about it. I just picked three. I don't know. But if you want to think of it that way, they brought Jesus three gifts and he's the king of our the universe. So maybe our kids only deserve three too.
By the way, if you're thinking about this as it relates to even budgeting, you know, making sure that you budget well, if you're looking for a great deal, right after Christmas is when you can do some of the best shopping. So rather than following the status quo, and I think that's the whole point here, simplify and don't feel like you have to follow the status quo,
yeah.
Especially as it relates to gift giving and that type of thing. Really choose to simplify and make the most of your time so that you guys, your family can enjoy the Christmas season.
Yeah. And with our family, often because of travel and getting everyone all in the same place at the same time, we've done that. We've backed Christmas up multiple days. Now, granted, our kids are at an age where that's not a big deal. That it will be a big deal for some kids. They know what Christmas morning is and what day of the week that is. But if you can have some wiggle room, make it yours. If you want to make it December 29th, do it. We've done that before. And somehow it's just more relaxing to feel like we're just doing this on our own schedule. And because we had an incident. But remember that we were up so late trying to get this gift for him working and it did not work. So we had to go. I think it was there was a 24-hour Walmart open. But thank goodness it was the night before our Christmas, but it was not Christmas Eve because it was that store would have been closed.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We were able to get in there and actually get a replacement gift at like 12:30 in the morning.
Yeah, that was a something I don't ever want to do again.
That was terrible. Oh, we felt so bad.
We created anyway. Some memories, though,
yeah,
out of
it. Yeah, we sure did. So. It was actually kind of funny. Okay.
So the next one. So simplify, eliminate the chaos. Mm-hmm. And really, this is about you. This is about you and your family. That's the whole point of this episode today, mm-hmm. is it's about you and your family sitting down together and leading your family well. So the second one is...
Saying no. In research, it shows that the most successful people in life have learned the art of saying no. Basically, they set boundaries really well and they stick to them.
Yeah. So for us, it really comes down to not overpacking your schedule of holiday events, your schedule full with holiday events.
Yeah.
Or here's the other issue, events that you're in charge of.
Yeah,
that you're having to figure out and you're just running ragged because you're the one planning and getting the meals together and all that. So I just really thinking through what is it that we want to do as a family? What is it that we want to accomplish as a family this holiday season? Mm-hmm. And then what it does is it really sets the tone to be able to say no to certain things. Now, we're going to get down into family relationships here in just a minute because there's some things that you'd like to say no to that you don't feel like you can.
Yeah.
And so we'll talk about that here in a second as well.
But I think, and just as a preface, I think it's really worth not some sort of formal, I always hated those formal family meetings, like when, you know, your parents would say, like, we're going to have a family meeting. I always felt like everyone was in trouble and it was really, anyway. But to have a family conversation where you just sit around the table, maybe like linger after dinner and over dessert or something and just say like, guys, what is one thing that is your favorite thing that you want to do this Christmas? And as husband and wife, talk that through. Like, what is something, like, what matters to you? Maybe going ice skating matters to you. Maybe me going, you know, I don't know, enjoying peppermint mochas is always great. And, you know, decorating the tree. Love those traditions. Those are important. But there's a lot that we can let go. But again, having each voice in your family be able to say what matters to them, because I think you'll be surprised. Some kids, the things that matter to them are far smaller and insignificant, maybe in our eyes, and they matter to them. And we can prioritize that. We don't have to do the fancy, big, expensive stuff. We can do the small stuff because that's what they love.
Yeah. And I just want to say this too, as it relates to saying no. In some situations, you may need to step up in your family and actually say no in a situation that might get hairy. And what do I mean by that? If there are functions or you're going to be exposing your children or even yourself to family members who are alcoholics, maybe they're abusive in some verbally or emotionally abusive way. It may do you and your kids well to avoid those events and to avoid those people. Put boundaries around your family that will keep the health of your family intact this holiday season. And again, that's a more serious one, but you may need to step up to the plate and have some hard conversations with some people to say, this is who we are as a family, and therefore we choose to not be spoken to in this way. We choose not to be treated in this way, or whatever that looks like. And you're just simply simplifying your life by putting those boundaries in place.
Yeah. And that's, we have found even in our just navigating, you know, after you get married, there's a whole other set of family that you need to balance. You're used to your traditions. I'm used to my traditions. And you feel like every Christmas I have to do all of mine with my family and you have to do, you know. That has been a really hard road to navigate for us. And I know a lot of people, mm-hmm. we've been talking about this when you add, and then you add divorce and other blended family situations, it just amplifies the number of Christmases you're expected to attend, the number of gifts you're supposed to, expected to give, and just events that you're expected to show up at.
And it's those expectations. It's yes. important.
It feels like have to.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. And sometimes they're real and sometimes they're perceived.
Yeah. Well, and I think what we've realized is over the years, and it's taken years, we've gone along with it on a lot of years and we've just done what we thought we were supposed to do. And then we started putting in like little boundaries in little places. And I think we've been surprised at how well everyone's responded to us creating our own family unit and the patterns that we want to set and truthfully what we would enjoy, because I think we can all relate to coming back from the Christmas season, like reentering work and school and, you know, normal life, exhausted, because Christmas was anything but enjoyable and restful and fun. It was exhausting and we just ran from place to place to place.
With little kids. Yeah.
Which just makes it all the worse. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's important that you do that. And I want to move to the next one. So saying no, but also being able to juggle your relationships ahead of time. Mm-hmm. So for instance, if you see potential conflict with family members during any upcoming like holiday functions or that type of thing, and you do choose to go, be proactive ahead of time to engage those family members. Call them, visit them, find out what's going on in their lives. Build trust in your family ahead of time, so that it's less awkward when everybody's together. Take care of awkward situations or take care of maybe some relational dynamics that need to be taken care of ahead of time so that you are able to go into that holiday function and enjoy it and know that some of it's taken care of.
Well, and I think what you're saying though, Josh, is that the last thing you want to do in setting these boundaries and making this the best for you is for it to be so self-serving and focused that this is all about us and our enjoyment of this Christmas season. That's not what we're saying either.
That's right.
What we're saying is prioritize the relationships in your life that you want to prioritize. And that is an all year round thing. It's not just at the holidays. So we've come up with a great solution, at least in our family, where we travel in the U.S. You know, American Thanksgiving is just 4 weeks before Christmas. So we travel and do one set of family over Christmas because we have this whole week.
Over Thanksgiving.
Oh, sorry. What did I say?
Over Christmas.
Yeah. Sorry. Thanksgiving. Where we get to just, and we, like, it's a priority. And we make all the traditions and all the fun in that week. It's just like Christmas, but we just get to celebrate 4 weeks earlier. And I think everyone still feels so valuable and these relationships are valuable. All the traditions are valuable. We just have spread them out because we just physically could not do
everything
at the same time.
And to go back to the conversation that we were having earlier, because this gets into the conversation of traveling to visit family members and that type of thing. When Christie's was at that bottom rung of life and we were, I think, our daughter, well, Kennedy was only about 4 months old at the time. She was just born and she was about 4 or 5 months old. So Landon had just turned 2. Mm-hmm. And by the way, Kennedy was just stomach allergies that we couldn't figure out. She just screamed all the time. Christie could not get her to sleep on her own. You were dealing with back issues. It was really, really a rough time.
Yeah.
And my dad had gotten out of the hospital after nearly dying at that time.
Yeah.
And he just really, he passed away a year ago now. And so, it's hard to believe that it's been a year.
Wow.
And, just as I process that, I look back on that moment. It was only 2 years earlier that he had gotten out of the hospital. And in the back of my mind, I knew, I didn't know how long he had with us. I really didn't. And I really wanted to, I felt like it was important for him. He loves us tremendously and just wanted him to see our kids. But it was a hard situation for our family. And so Christy and I had to sit down and we had to work through it as husband and wife, because I was going to take the kids by myself for an 8-hour trip, a 2-year-old and a 4-month-old, while Christy stayed back. But she needed to. Like, had she gone along, it would have, I don't know what it would have been like.
I was literally on the edge of a breakdown. I've never felt that. That was really a hard season. And so, I mean, there's been plenty of situations similar to that, actually, that we've navigated and I've gone along with it. But that was one where, and I thank you for giving me permission to take care of myself then. Because usually I think we think prioritize family first, but I had to take care of me then, and you knew that. And so you took a 4-month-old and a 2-year-old on a 16-hour round trip by yourself.
And even that, you know, the question was, do I do that? Is it fair to my kids to do that? Mm-hmm. I just knew in that moment, and again, these are conversations, we can't give you the answer to your family situation. But I think you know in your gut what you need to do and not do as it relates to family travel and it relates to certain family members. I knew in that moment I needed to see my dad. I knew in that moment I had no idea how much longer my dad had. In fact, he had a blood clot literally within 3 weeks later and had to get another heart pump put in. And so I knew I had to make that sacrifice for the sake of my dad and for the sake of our family there. But it was a conversation that Christy and I both had to really hone in with each other and give each other a lot of grace and really understand one another's hearts. And I won't say this. I'll say this. It was not all peachy clean. Like,
no,
oh, I totally understand that you need to stay back. And you're
and
like,
I totally understand that you need to go. Take our kids and go. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was. I mean, it got heated. I mean, there were some. I mean, it was a tense,
honestly,
tense
those were super
conversation.
Emotional conversations.
Yeah. So this isn't like, oh my gosh, we did this all right and this was amazing. These were some intense conversations.
And I think, yeah, and just to say, you're not alone. When you feel this, I think we all feel like, does nobody else, like all you see is the perfect Instagram photos of these great family gatherings and they're all matching and whatever. And it's adorable, but you don't see what goes on behind the scenes to get those people there. The rifts and the damage in marriage that happens when spouses just, you know, drag their other spouse there without really thought to how this affects them.
And I want to say this too to husbands out there listening, as it relates to bringing your wife or your kids into your family dynamic. If you're, you know, and I'm just thinking of in-laws here, really protecting our family unit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if your parents are rude to your wife or they don't give your wife respect, you know, have that conversation, have that hard conversation with your parents ahead of time to say, listen, she is my wife and I love her. I'm treating her with respect. I expect you to show her that same respect. There needs to be these conversations in a lot of cases, because otherwise you'll go and you'll continue to do the same routine and the same thing over and over and over again. And what ends up happening is you get in trouble with each other because she doesn't feel like you're fighting for her, and it's just that your family matters more than she does. And we hear this a lot. This is why I'm saying this. We hear this situation a lot. So and make sure she feels important.
As a parent, doesn't it feel like the days feel so long, but somehow the years are just flying by so fast? And I wonder, am I missing it? I want to instill in my kids confidence and work ethic. I want them to love God and love others, to have great friendships. But in my daily life, in the midst of schedules and grocery trips and playdates and soccer practice and laundry and work, am I missing it?
That's why we created 22-6 Parenting, to be intentional, to save ourselves time and throw guilt out the window, to invest in our kids the biblical values we want to stick for a lifetime without adding anything extra to our already busy day.
22-6 has three main features. The first is community. 22-6 is a shame-free community of parents encouraging one another in our most important role, that of mom and dad. Each month, we go live for a Facebook Q&A with the community, and it's amazing.
Secondly is content. 22-6 provides the tools you need to talk about God to your kids.
Based on Deuteronomy 6, each month's content includes morning prayers, dinner time stories, drive time games, and bedtime questions.
And then there's the coaching. Each month you'll receive a coaching video on that month's mile marker or topic with practical application for how to foster character development and spiritual formation in your kids.
Learn more today at 226parenting.com. That's 226parenting.com.
And on the flip side, I mean, the exact same thing would hold true. I think we know a lot of women who obviously... that leave and cleave thing is just a tough thing. We haven't even really talked about that too much, but gosh, that's a tough thing to balance. The family that's loved you and raised you, and especially when you're very close with your family, bringing in someone else and their family dynamics and expectations can be very hard for parents to accept. I think they want to. It's just they want their kids with them, right? And so just the flip side of that also is, just as I respect and love my husband, I expect you to respect and love him as well. And to consider his family, in our conversations about how we manage this. And I think we can all feel, we know when we're being respected and when our presence is just valued as for who we are. And we know when it becomes controlling and... sort of an unhealthy situation where you're just expected to be there. And those are just, for us anyway, they have not been easy conversations. They have been horrible in some regards and great in others. But I think it's been the thing, refining fire, if you want to look at it that way, for us as a couple and as, the leaders of our family. I think those holiday events, have been the thing that have sort of forged us as a family unit the strongest, and have started to, I think it's what starts to set us apart, that we are our own family unit.
And I think too, it's very easy for family to come in between you, but allow this to be an opportunity to think of yourselves as teammates. You're a team and you're going in this holiday season together, and you're going into this to fight together as a team.
Exactly.
And it's not that you're fighting against family. What you're doing is, because here's the thing, there are going to be situations where you have to give in. Mm-hmm. There are going to be situations where you have to give in. You're going to be probably spending some time with people that you don't necessarily maybe enjoy spending time with, that type of thing. But it's okay in some instances to go, you know what, I'm going to give here for the sake of my spouse or for the sake of our family unit, because I know it matters.
Yeah.
So,
and I think we've also learned to just make those shifts. And even in the time, like, yeah, let's go. Okay, we'll go. But, we won't stay for 5 days this time. Let's stay for 3 and let's see how that goes, or whatever it is. But just making these things, I think we don't realize the freedom that we actually have.
Yeah.
Right?
It's very true.
We feel like we're stuck as the status quo, and we're not.
And I would say this, really find the way that that honors your family members and honor them well. No matter whether you're there for 2 days or you're there for 6 days, what you can do to honor them well, find those ways and do that. Which goes to the next point, and that's this. Only expect what's given. The greatest predictor of future behavior is past behavior. So if you and your dad, for instance, or you and your mom, let's just say you and a parent have had a rocky past and you haven't spoken in 6 months, don't expect Christmas morning to be just such a wonderful holiday that it's going to heal all the wounds from the past. It's not going to, okay? The greatest predictor of future behavior is past behavior. So don't expect also to be the fixer during the holidays. Unmet expectations lead to the biggest disappointments. So set realistic expectations as it relates to your family members, as it relates to what it is you want to, do and accomplish during the holiday season. Set those realistic expectations so that you're not let down.
Well, exactly. And I think we do, especially with Christmas, we get these totally idealistic senses of it's going to be magical. I know last year was really rough, but this year it's going to be great. This is going to be great. And it probably won't. But it could be better. It could be better than it was last year.
So the next one is taking time for you this Christmas. Carve out moments each day to pray, to meditate, to soak in sights and sounds and tastes and smells of the season. The five senses, just really I love doing this. If you're also not connecting with Jesus all that well in your personal life, it's hard to celebrate his birth in a meaningful way. So really be creative with this time and get some time in for you and your family. For you in particular, get exercise, whether it's reading, whether it's a hot bath, whether it's, you know, giving your the opportunity to go to get a peppermint mocha here and there.
And take a book and get out of the house. Yeah.
Because here's the reality. You can't give to your family from an empty tank. If you're exhausted, you're going to have less to give. And so...
And I think that's just a cycle we often get into is when we're spending time with family, when we're out of a normal routine, is we get away from all the parts of our routine that do give us energy, that do bring us life. And we just go all in with people around us. And for those of us who are... like we're right on the introvert extrovert line. We are extroverts, but we need our time alone. And I think as parents, you start to realize when you're never alone, just how much that alone time matters and is valuable. So don't feel like that's, less important. It's more important.
Find the things that give you life. You know what gives you life.
Yeah.
And make sure you implement those things during the holiday season so that you can be life for the rest of your family as well. Especially, and if you have little kids, maybe choose to spend less money on them this holiday season and turn that money into a babysitter. So taking the money that you might use for your young kids, give it to a babysitter so you can go do some date nights and enjoy the holiday season with your spouse.
Let's do those types
of things. Yeah. Go to a Christmas parade.
I really like that idea.
Yeah. And don't feel guilty for spending a little bit extra money on yourself, and tossing the budget away from the kids and onto yourself. You sacrifice all year long. It's an opportunity to give back to yourself.
That was amazing. That was my favorite one.
Thanks.
Let's do it.
All right.
Right now. Let's go.
So, another one here is invite others to help you.
Yeah, I can attest to this one. So if you are the one hosting Christmas, if you're the family coordinator of the holidays or whatever, invite others to help you. Your spouse, your kids, your extended family, your friends. Help them, give them jobs to do where they feel like they're a part of it. Setting the table, going to the grocery store, decorating, cooking, everything.
That means you have to give up some control.
Yeah, exactly. And I've learned that the hard way. But delegating responsibilities to your kids, too. I mean, we've seen that. It instills in them such self-confidence and self-competence. They're learning new skills. But or consider, we've started, doing like everyone brings something or everyone's responsible for a meal on a certain day. Like we actually have a meal schedule because we're all in the same home for a lot of days in a row. But it's really a fun opportunity when you can twist it that way to take everything off your shoulders, like you're the martyr, that you have this huge mantle of responsibility over you, to turn that mundane and the stressful tasks into something that actually brings life as a family.
Yeah.
So the baking doesn't need to be done before everyone gets there.
And let me stop and say this too, because I just want to reiterate what you just said. We're in the same house with a lot of our family members during that period of time. And we just want to make sure like every single person is responsible for dinner a certain night of that week during that time. So and we create memories doing it together.
Oh yeah. Especially when the guys decide to pair up, like we do it in pairs and they decide on their night to cook together. So like, and they can pick whatever they want to do and it's their responsibility to go to the grocery store and get the food and everything. It's hilarious actually.
Yeah. And we do birthday cake to Jesus Jesus, with the kids. And that's a fun night. So
out of a box of birthday cake mix, it's perfect.
That's right.
With a store-bought icing. Cause guess what? Just as good. Well, it doesn't taste quite the same, but in the kids' eyes, just the same.
So, and then the last one is give back, this holiday season. There's no better season of the year to give your time and money than during the holidays. And here's what I love about this. So I grew up going to nursing homes and singing to the elderly and talking to them and listening to stories. It's one of the most amazing parts of my growing up years is remembering going and singing Christmas carols in nursing homes, and just because often they're left alone. And that's one of my favorite things. And whether it's volunteering at a local homeless shelter, it's singing Christmas carols at a nursing home, maybe it's even helping your neighbors get ready for Christmas, or, you know, helping them decorate their house or that type of thing. There's something joyful on the other side of giving. And so figure out ways you can give more than receive this Christmas, because this is a great way also to start traditions in your family that you want your kids to pass on to their kids, that you want to create a generational family tradition. There's no better way to do that than to model for them what it means to give back to other people. Mm-hmm. I know of families also who on Christmas Day serve at a homeless shelter. That's their family Christmas. So, you know, find those traditions that work for you and your family and begin doing those so that your kids learn that, hey, listen, this is about giving. It's not about receiving, mm-hmm. especially in the entitled culture we live in.
Yeah. And I think just what you've just said there, though, the traditions alone bring, they're so much fun. I think that is what we all look back on our childhood, and that's what we remember. It's the traditions. And I think if we can sum up everything we've sort of talked about today, is just allowing yourself the freedom to create traditions that prioritize you and your family, and ones that you want your kids to hand down to their family. Mm. And all we need, like all that really requires, is just a little bit of intentionality, that you talk, conversations where you guys talk as a couple, when you bring the kids in, when they're old enough to be a part of those conversations, that this is what we want our family to be about. This is what we want our Christmas to be about, from now until forever. And you can add, we love, because we try to add one new tradition every year. And it's just become a real fun, freeing way that we're just setting our own family on a new path.
That's right. Yeah. Also, as we close here, we want to also make you aware of a resource that we have called the 25 Characters of the Christmas Story. They are nightly or daily family devotions, opportunities for you to walk through 25 characters of the Christmas story, beginning on December 1st, culminating on December 25th, so that you can, and there's a character trait, there's a character, whether it's Mary or Joseph, or and then ultimately Jesus, and the character trait, and then there's
something that character teaches us,
something that they teach us, and then ways that you can implement that with your kids, with bedtime questions and that type of thing.
Thousands of families go through this, and we love it. They love it. The kids love it.
And we're going to make this available to you exclusively as a podcast listener. So go to the podcast, as you've listened here, go to the show notes and click on the link on the show notes to find out how to make sure you can download these or sign up for them. And we would love to have you journey with us this Christmas season.
For more information and resources, or to connect with us, go to drjoshandchristy.com and come find us on Facebook or Instagram at Dr. Josh and Christy.
And be sure to head over to iTunes and subscribe to the In This Together podcast. We'd love if you wrote a review. The more positive reviews we get, the more people learn about it. Tell a friend, and be sure to send us ideas, thoughts, or questions you'd love for us to cover on the podcast.
It's an honor being in this together.
We'll see you next week.